I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Chinero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Saturday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Rob has a potentially dangerous distraction in the form of an Atlanta Falcons playoff game, a game which the Falcons eventually won to his great surprise, but we discuss Atletico's 2-0 win over Getafe. Nonetheless, it was the Diego Costa show, his first league appearance in 3.5 years, consisting of a goal and a controversial red card for celebrating said goal with the supporters. We'll try to explain what happened there, whether the rule was applied correctly, and generally reflect on life's fleeting moments of joy. We'll also analyze a rough and tumble Getafe side, the general inconsistency, one may say, of the refereeing decisions on Ángel Correa's goal, an important goal for him for more than one reason, Antoine Griezmann's new role, and a whole lot more. We'll also get you set for the Copa del Rey on Tuesday at Atleti hosting Lleida in the second leg of their last 16 tie. And for you patrons out there, we have a bonus rumor roundup pod coming up. But before we get into all that, a couple quick notes. You can subscribe and listen to Colt Chinero Chat on pretty much your favorite podcasting platform of choice, but iTunes. If you're on iTunes, make sure to leave a rating and a review. It helps get more eyes and ears on Colt Chinero Chat. We'd really appreciate it. So head on over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a rating and review, and so on. Also, if you are a current patron, you don't have to worry about this. But if you're not a patron, head over to patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat to join all the fun. You get access to our bonus pods and a lot of other goodies. So head on over there, patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat, if you're interested in supporting the show. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Oh, God.
Again, if there is any screaming, I will know the source of it.
Yes, you will know what it is.
All right, man, so let us discuss this Atletico game, the first game of La Liga in 2018, or the first La Liga game of 2018, and I did not get up at 5 a.m. to watch this game, full disclosure. But
not live.
Well, no, not live, thank God for Fubo TV, because I was able to record it and watch it at a more reasonable hour. But this was a good game. I think Atletico played well. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think it was a good overall performance against a team that's very annoying to play against.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's one way of putting it. Yeah, Getafe, we kind of knew what this was going in. Getafe, they had the best goal difference of anyone, or had the best goal difference of anyone outside the top four. But they hadn't been playing pretty, like, at all. They play a really kind of traditional formation, a bit like Atletico, like strictly a 4-4-2. They rely on their strikers to give them their goals and everyone else to make tackles and draw fouls and get yellow cards. Like, they are very, very difficult to play against. They're extremely well-structured, and they will just tackle the hell out of you. And Atletico found that out. And not that Atletico didn't expect it coming in, but they found that out firsthand with all these yellow cards.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Getafe are trying to be like what Atletico would be if you took all the players on Atletico and made them a lot worse, and then just tried to play the same kind of way. It's sort of that sort of deal, but, you know, there are lots of yellow cards. I think there were 7 for Atletico in total, which is just ridiculous, but
yeah, something like that. 7 in total, and only 3 for Getafe, which Getafe should have had at least 2 or 3 more. They got away with some interesting tackles, some interesting form tackles in this game.
Yeah, you can look at the foul numbers on this one and come to your own conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a rough match from that perspective, but some nice goals in the end, actually. I enjoyed both of them greatly.
2 extremely nice goals came out of this rather rough match, in which Atletico managed 61% possession. And it didn't look awkward to me. They actually generated chances.
I mean, I know we talked about it so much, and I was worried we were kind of overhyping it, but having Diego Costa in this team makes a massive difference.
It kind of does. I think it is possible to understate just how important Costa his return is. And you saw it within the first 10 minutes of this game. He makes runs. He occupies space. He latches on to balls and holds up play in a way no other striker in this team can do.
Yeah, and it's exactly what this team has been missing for not just this year, but for years past as well. I mean, Fernando Torres did it well on the route to the Champions League final, but outside of that season, he hasn't been as good. But this is the exact sort of role Atleti needs their striker to be in.
This is just... you're right, we had talked about it a lot of times before, like, oh, having Costa back is going to be great. Oh, he's exactly what Atleti had been missing. But then you watch him play and you realize, wow, he's really, really good. And you remember how freaking good he is. He's a world-class forward, and how amazing it is to have him back.
It really is. And, I mean, they well done to the Atletico physical team and Profe Ortega, because he has this man in prime shape.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's missed a beat. Like, all credit to El Profe. We talked about this article, I think, a couple weeks ago. He lost 20 pounds over the last 6 months and just pure muscle. And he looks like he's in tip-top shape.
He really does. And when you come to that Diego Simeone system, I mean, that's what you have to expect, is that they're going to work the bejesus out of you. And that's what they did with him. And it looks great. I mean, we had that brief scare in the cup match. But other than that, he looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah, we didn't do a podcast after the cup match. But yeah, it looked like he was totally fine. He was running fine. What had happened was, if you missed it, during his goal, he got stamped on by a Yeda defender. And it looked accidental, but he got stamped on pretty good. And there was a good 10 minutes there where I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. He can't already be hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big concern, because towards the end of his second spell at Atleti, there was a lot of injury stuff. And it was just like, oh, God, please.
Horse placenta.
If we just got him back, he scores and then he's out again. That would be the worst.
Horse placenta.
Yes!
Horse placenta.
Yes, we can't afford to buy any more of that stuff. It didn't work the first time.
Yeah, but it was great having him back. He did not score the first goal, though. He scored the second. Angel Correa scored the first goal, and my, this was a pretty goal, wasn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. I was loving it. Outside of the boot, goals are always fantastic, one was just pleasing.
You know, I thought initially it was a pass, because Costa was running toward the back post. I thought he was going to try to kind of hit it off the side of his foot to Costa, but instead he went for goal, and he just rolled in past Emiliano Martinez.
Great goal. It really did, and it was a very good finish, actually. It was kind of slow roll where he didn't get as much of the power on it that he might have liked, but it didn't matter in the end, because it deceived the keeper, because I think he may have also thought it was a pass, but kind of got trapped in no man's land. But a great goal.
Yeah, and Correa... This kind of segues into Simeone's formation in this game. And it was really interesting, because it was 4-4-2. A couple times they switched to 4-3-3. But by and large, it was 4-4-2. And Griezmann dropped deeper. Correa was mostly Costa's partner in this game. Griezmann dropped deeper into midfield toward the right-hand side, toward a free winger type of role.
Right, which is what we kind of started to see at the end of 2017. But... again, even at that time, they didn't have the personnel to do it. But now with Costa, they can absolutely allow for Griezmann to not be the focal point and just sort of do his thing in behind that forward line.
Yeah, and he looked so comfortable. He provided the assist for Correa's goal. This nice little sliding pass. And Correa's movement, though, on that goal, sliding through two defenders. That's exactly why he plays and why he should continue to play.
Yeah, and I mean, this sort of... setup of the team is kind of exactly what you and I have been wanting to see. I mean, two more traditional sort of winger kind of roles, even whether it's Griezmann or Correa, they had wide players rather than four central midfielders jammed in there, and Carrasco actually got to start. So,
like, I know
I'm
beating a dead horse here, but it's amazing how good your attack can look when you actually play attacking players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And Carrasco didn't have a great game, but his presence and his skill set, it makes a big difference just having him there, whether he's super involved or not.
Yeah, Carrasco had a really weird game, speaking of. No shots, but completed four dribbles. A lot of energy early. He was pulled off on the hour, which it seems like he always is. And Tomas replaced him, so Simeone kind of battened down the hatches a bit. But yeah, this is more of what... we've been wanting to see, and what hopefully we will see a lot more moving forward, now that Simeone has all of his horses in the stable, so to speak. Now he can play the way he's wanted to play with Costa and with Vitolo in the team.
Yeah, and I kind of don't mind the substitution either. I think it was probably smart given the circumstances, because Getafe were always going to push. And that was before Atleti had even gotten the second goal, so I totally understand that. But Crespo, I think he needs to keep getting starts, and on a day where maybe Costa isn't there, isn't firing, and the other attackers aren't in it, he can make a big difference.
Yeah, and so can Griezmann, because again, Griezmann just looked so comfortable in this game. And he, looking at his heat map, he registered touches pretty much everywhere. And it's been said before by Simeone that Griezmann is Atletico's Messi. And that has been less and less true because, especially this season, with the lack of really options to put next to him, Griezmann has been isolated up top before, most famously in the Madrid derby. He has been asked to play as a number nine when he's very clearly not a number nine. In this game, he was a second striker. In this game, he was a right winger. At times this game, he was just a central midfielder. He was everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly sort of the role they need him to do. I mean, the pressure of him leading this forward line, it wasn't good for him, and it wasn't good for the team. It's so good now that he can kind of do his own thing for however long he's still at the club, and he looks good with Costa. I mean, having him there makes all the difference.
Yeah, that the much-talked-about Costizman pairing, I'd say early returns are good. I think that it looks like they're already developing kind of an understanding. And Griezmann, it's interesting with Griezmann, he doesn't really have out-and-out bad chemistry with, you know, a lot of the forwards that Simeone stuck up top with him, and there have been a lot of forwards. Like, he had good chemistry with Mandzukic. He had decent chemistry with Jackson, as bad as Jackson was. He and Torres played off each other relatively well. He and Gamero played off each other really well, but they were just too similar. With Costa, it already looks like there is an understanding there, that they both know where the other is going to be. They both are able to track each other's movements, and I think this could be the start of a very nice partnership blossoming here.
Yes, I think it could be very fruitful for both of them. I think they complement each other quite well, and it looks good right now. We won't see it probably in the next La Liga match, but...
Yeah, we're not. You know. As we'll discuss why that is.
Yes.
Yeah, the referee lost control of this game, like, in the first half, but this actually was not the referee's fault. The Costa show started in earnest after the hour, when he delivered a pretty nice elbow to a Jenny Dakonam's face. And he knew exactly what he was...
happen.
He knew exactly what he was doing, man. He looked back and just delivered that elbow right into his face. He knew what he was about. And then he got a yellow card, which was deserved. That was not a nice thing to do. And then 6 minutes later, he finishes off a beautiful counterattack across from Jimmy Brasalico, his third assist of Atletico's last four goals. This is as slick and classy as you like. Keeper going left, slots it home with the right to the keeper's right, or to the keeper's left, which means Costa's right. And then he goes to celebrate with the fans, which is great. That's all well and good. The only problem is, apparently, that means an automatic yellow card. Costa already had a yellow card. You put one and one together, and that means Costa was sent off in his first league game back. Amazing.
And I saw something on Twitter that that's only his second ever red card, which sounds incredibly wrong, but I can also believe it.
Because it is.
He's very good at getting away with things.
I think it's his first red card in 8 years in La Liga.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like he's just an expert at towing the line.
So in that case, and the fact that he got it for not doing anything violent is even more incredible.
It is. Yeah, I was thinking about this too. You remember when, during the Sevilla game, when Carrasco scored, he went to celebrate with the fans. Do you remember him getting a yellow card when that happened?
I don't think so, did he? I'll have to look.
I'm looking right now. I'm going to look right now.
And I've seen a bunch of people on Atletico Twitter posting examples of people that, you know, ran into the crowd and didn't get booked. But unfortunately, Diego has a reputation that sort of precedes him on some of these things.
No, Carrasco did not get booked for going to celebrate with... No, he did. He did get booked for it.
Okay. Well,
he did.
Fair.
Okay, so there is precedent. That makes it a little easier to stomach, but still, it's a ridiculous rule. I mean, the man just came back. It's his first goal. It's an emotional moment. Let him celebrate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope they don't contest the ban because that could result in it getting extended. So I'd say they just kind of got to take that one on the chin. We could probably get past Ibar without him, but we'll see.
Even if they did appeal, it would be tough to... It's a subjective call. I mean, it would be tough to overturn it because the referee would just say, well, it's in the rule book. It's like the NFL's catch rule. It's a dumb rule, but if it's applied correctly.
Yes, correct. we don't need to get into the NFL catch rule because it's the most ridiculous rule ever. But
and fun fact, it was the same referee in both games, Martinez Munuera. He booked Carrasco for going into the crowd against Sevilla, and he booked Costa for doing it against Getafe. Same referee.
He hates the fans. Yeah. I think that can be our only conclusion.
Yeah, he's Mr. Badass over here.
Yes, he doesn't want anyone. No fun.
No fun, no games. Allowed. Nope. Strict adherence to the rules.
Yeah, this is the no fun league now.
Yeah, he was really bad in the first half, though.
Yeah, it was a poor refereeing performance. Anytime you dish out seven yellow cards to one team, that's poor.
And Getafe only had three, and it should have been a lot more. And Gabby and Savage both saw yellow. They will be suspended for the trip to Eibar next week. Which
fabulous. I don't particularly mind Savage being suspended, but
or Gabby, because Sal is coming back from suspension, and between him and Tomas, it should be okay.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
But back to this one, what else did you see from this game? Atleti, I thought handled it pretty well, being down to 10 men, as weird as it was. But I think they handled it pretty well. And Getafe had a lot of possession, but not really a lot of chances the final 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think in sort of right after the sending off, I think most of Getafe's chances came after that point. Before that, they hadn't really threatened at all, which, you know, that'll happen. I thought Vrsaljko was great again. Like you said, this is his third assist of Atleti's last four goals, which is just intense. I mean, he's been such a great attacking option. Which is insane for a right back. But, you know, Atleti's fullbacks this year have been important. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Vrsaljko was that great defensively. I don't think he has been all season. But when you can attack like he does, when you can bring what Juan Fran simply can't bring anymore, it adds so much. It adds another dimension to the attack. When both fullbacks are as good as they are.
The two center backs that are covering behind him are so good, generally it doesn't make that much of a difference. And Atleti track back better than any team in Europe, so most of the time it doesn't matter if he gets caught out, if he's surging forward. But, good assist. It was a bit fortunate that it trickled through in the way that it did, but it was still a good ball.
Yep. On the other flank, Lucas played really well. Felipe didn't play due to a hamstring injury. He missed out on both games of 2018 so far. And it looks like he's going to be out for the A-bar trip next week. But Lucas played, I thought, extremely well. Went a bit more forward than we're used to seeing him. And that was nice to see because he's not a left back, but he held his own anyway.
Yeah, I thought he did everything very well. He did well completing dribbles as well as tackling and tracking back doing the defensive stuff, which we know is sort of his bread and butter. I still don't believe that he's a left back. Long term,
no.
And I don't think he should be. So I'd like to see him at center back when Felipe returns. But in the meantime, he's just fine as cover.
Oh, yeah. 98 touches for him, which was the third most of anyone on the team.
Yeah, that's pretty decent. It kind of shows you how much Atleti use their fullbacks in a lot of their attacking play. But, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, thought he was very good. The Godin-Savage pairing was off to a wretched start. I think they've now won like their last four or five together.
Yeah, they have. They've looked good, actually. Savage has been actually quietly very consistent this year. I mean, he hasn't been spectacular, but he's just been quite solid, I think.
Oh, they lost the Espanyol game together. So that's like five of the last six I think they've won when they've been paired together. It should not be working, but as long as it works, Simeone's going to keep going back to it.
Yeah, that's right. Until eventually he'll have to chuck in either Lucas or Jimenez at some point. Jimenez came on, of course, but you know, that was kind of a shithousery sub.
It was. He just stuck Jimenez in midfield and said, right, there you go, try to get past him.
That was Getafe's punishment for playing the way they were. Yeah. All right, here, have a third center back.
Go deal with Jose Jimenez. Enjoy.
Yeah. I would not want to play against Jose Jimenez for anything.
No. No, never. He's a beast. He would beat my ass up and down the pitch.
He's a huge dude.
He's huge, he's fast, he's strong. Like, no thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm not really trying to deal with that at all. So, yeah, good. It was a good game. I mean, a very solid 2-0 win. And Getafe, I mean, against a team like that, even though they are kind of a crappy team to watch, they're effective. So to get a 2-0 win is very solid.
Yeah, this was not the best team to throw Costa in against, or to throw this new look at Letty in against, because Getafe made things, they're very tough to play against. And if you hadn't watched much of them before this game, I think it gave you a better understanding of why they're near solidly mid-table. They have what they lack in talent, they make up for in just straight organization and straight-up hard tackling. It's admirable.
Yes, true. And also, it did give me sort of the memories of the title-winning season and the goal that Diego Costa scored against Getafe back then. So he loves a goal against them. This one wasn't as pretty as that bicycle kick, but I'll take it.
Yeah, the La Liga Twitter account tweets that goal all the time.
It's a great goal.
I never grow tired of saying it.
It's still good.
No,
it's still good.
What else from this game?
I'm trying to think. There wasn't too much else. I mean, there wasn't anything spectacular, but that's good. If this team can be quiet and effective, then that's ideal.
Still second place. I mean, we're recording this on Saturday night, so Barca and Real Madrid have not played yet. But Valencia also played Saturday. They won 2-1 over Girona, so they remain 2 points back of Atletico. Only one ahead on the goal difference, and the head-to-head, well, it was a goalless draw, so the head-to-head doesn't matter right now. But Valencia is still behind them. Madrid play Celta Vigo on Sunday evening. That'll be a pretty good game. I think it will.
Yeah,
of course. By the
rematch,
by the time this comes out, we'll know for sure whether it was or wasn't a good game.
Yes, true. And Valencia is the next big team Atleti has to play. They sort of have a knock on wood easy run coming up with Eibar and Girona and Las Palmas. In theory, Girona being good, but even still, you'd imagine they could get by them.
Yeah, you'd think.
So Valencia is the next big team they have to take on.
Yeah. What else from Saturday? Did you catch any of the Andalusian derby?
Oh, I watched all of it, yes.
Oh, you did?
It was excellent.
That was an amazing game.
It really was. That's one of my favorite derbies in the world. I love that derby.
It's so underrated, because there was just so much hatred between those two teams.
And the atmosphere was pumping, but then 1 minute in, Sevilla conceded. It's just like, oh man, this is going to be something intense.
And there were 8 goals, and Sevilla are really trash. They really, really are trash, man.
Yeah, and a very interesting manager appointment, putting in Montella.
Why?
He had a weird spell at Milan.
Why would you appoint him?
Yeah, no La Liga experience. Don't know if he speaks Spanish.
I caught him saying vamos a couple times.
Yes, I did see that. But come on, I mean, seriously, that should be word number one he learns.
For some people, it's not. You'd be surprised. For some people, it's uno mas cerveza.
Yes, well,
for some people, it's adios. He picked vamos.
More than one more after that match. But yeah, it was a tremendous match, and it just widened that gap between fourth and the rest.
Atleti are now 10 points clear. 10 points clear of fifth place with a massive goal difference and head-to-head advantage over Sevilla. I think it's pretty safe to say they'll be back in the Champions League next year.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty safe to say.
The top four teams are locked in. It's just who ends up where.
Yeah, exactly. So for those despairing at Atleti's Champions League group stage exit, yes, it was a disaster, but not a huge disaster, as Atleti are going to be back in the Champions League next year. Pretty much certain at this point. You gotta think, unless something just truly, like, miraculous happens, which, based on how Sevilla played in this game, giving up 5 goals at home, I don't really see it.
Yeah, no, they started the season great, but recently they have been bad, that's not great. But Betis, I mean, I always forget how many players on Betis that I, like, know and have seen play a billion times, like Andres Guardado, who's been around forever at this point. It's just kind of crazy to still see him knocking around.
Yeah, this is a Betis team that has gone to Sevilla and gone to Real Madrid and won. Atletico have beaten them this year at their building.
Mm.
Makes that win look a little better, too.
It really does. It really does. And they've been, you know, we'll see. They're a fun team to watch, Betis. They're either going to give up a ton of goals or score a bunch of goals, or preferably both.
Sometimes both, exactly.
Both is best.
Yeah, they've conceded 34 goals this season. Only Las Palmas have conceded more.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Well, Las Palmas actually won somehow.
No, they didn't. They lost to Eibar.
They didn't?
They lost.
Oh, boo.
They were up 1-0, and then they gave up two late goals in the second half, and they lost.
Oh, I saw it when they were 1-0 up, and I was like, oh, surely they're going to win.
No. But, and Paco Jemez is in charge now, so they should be more fun. I'm not sure they'll be any better, but they'll be more fun.
Well, the press conferences will be more interesting, that's for sure.
Definitely, and they might score a couple more goals.
Oh, God. And they've already, what I saw on Twitter, that they're getting ready to get rid of Loic Remy, so that's always good.
Yeah, our time together was too short, Loic.
Oh, Loic Remy, man.
Our time
he
together.
He loves vacation.
Oh, speaking of departures, Cedric Bakambu going to China.
Mm.
I'm very sad about that.
I love Cedric Bakambu. It's a shame to see him go.
I mean, $40 million is $40 million for Villarreal. I mean,
yeah,
it's
true.
Good money, and they'll probably get Gerard Moreno to replace him. But, man, Bakambu is good. He'll be a big loss.
He is. He's been great for them this year. And the Bakambu partnership, we hardly knew ye.
It rolls off the tongue better than Baka Moreno. Bakambu.
Yeah, exactly.
It just rolls off the tongue. I can always keep it alive in FIFA.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go.
Just
and,
stop
you know,
the roster.
And we're also going to take their best young midfield player as well, so it's all good.
Yes,
sorry, Villarreal.
Indeed, yeah, not such a great few weeks for Villarreal here in terms of keeping players around.
Yes, and then, well, I guess we have our one departure as well, but you know, shit happens.
Yes, the player we have given to Valencia to make them weaker for their top four challenge.
Secret agent Vieto.
Secret agent Luciano Vieto. Let's do it.
Oh man,
Luciano Vieto, Spanish man of mystery.
Oh, God,
actually, he's Argentine.
It. Yeah, well.
European man of mystery. There it is.
You go for it. You go and cause all the problems in Valencia. He got on today.
He did. He didn't look good, but he got on.
Well, he won't do that. He will not look good. I don't really know what they're thinking on that one, but sure.
I mean, Marcelino's his old coach, so.
True, maybe he can get the best out of him.
If there's anyone to do it, it's... You'd think if there were anyone, it would be Simeone, but if there's anyone else, it will probably be Marcelino.
Yeah, I looked at his how much XG he generated. He generated 0.11 result, missed shot.
That's good.
I was like, that looks about right.
Usually the XG is higher.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that's about Vieto summed up there. 89th minute, missed shot. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit toward the Copa del Rey midweek, which is going to be just, it's a formality. Atleti hosting Lleida on Tuesday night. Really, just, there's not a whole lot to talk about here because Atleti are up 4-0 on aggregate. There's no way they blow this. I think the biggest question is, are there going to be any B-teamers called up? And I legit don't know the answer to that. I'd be disappointed if there weren't any called up.
I mean, I think there absolutely should be. I think it makes all the sense in the world. You're 4-0 up at home against a third division side. I mean, play the kids, for God's sake. I mean,
most
of the starters this year have played a ton of minutes. So this is one of your few chances for relief.
Yeah, get Juan Moreno out there. Get Sergio Gonzalez out there. Get Katie Barre out there.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
This is a perfect chance for those guys who haven't played yet, who haven't played since preseason.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I think there's no reason to not have those guys out there. But I don't know if Simeone will do that, but he definitely should.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if he will, even though you're right, he should. Moya's going to start because he's the cup keeper. Juan Fran will probably start. Vitolo will probably start since he didn't play, which is a bit surprising to me. He didn't play against Atafe.
Yeah, I wonder if Atleti had been full strength if he would have gotten some minutes.
Or if it were like a closer game.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there really wasn't a need for him. I think he should start. I mean, I guess Costa he could play in this one, I suppose, since he'll be banned for the Ibar match.
I think it's only a La Liga suspension. It doesn't apply to all domestic competitions.
Yeah, I did some Googling, but couldn't find anything official on that. But I think you're right.
Yeah, I think he could be eligible to play in the Copa, but I doubt Simeone will play him. There's just no need to, and no need to risk him getting injured or risk another red card or so on.
Yeah, well, fair.
There's just no need to risk him, I don't think.
Yeah, play Shipakas. Is he still alive? Is he still around?
I don't know for a fact what else happened, but I heard there may have been some personal character issues. I don't know that for sure, though.
Oh, fair.
But he got injured.
Well, we're going to have to get some of the youngins out there, I think. I think it has to be at this point.
Yeah, there's just no reason not to.
Yeah, bless them. They tried in the first half, in the first leg, and they were not great. And then they got beat 4-0, and that's just what happens.
Yeah, we didn't talk at all about that game. The first 20 minutes were, like, really, really sleepy. Yeah. And Atleti then kind of turned it on after Moya had to make a couple saves because they were that sleepy. And Torres' goal was offside, but it pretty much killed the tie anyway. And then the Costa and Griezmann goals were just for style points.
Yeah, the Griezmann goal was very ugly.
Oh, that was so funny.
Despite it being a free kick
goal. It was like a cement mixer free kick. Just such a heavy deflection.
Yeah, he just slammed it into the wall and it went in somehow. That's a real third division goal right there.
Yeah. At the third division team building. But yeah, I don't expect many fireworks here. The crowd's not going to be good, as we know, with these games. It's just, this is the problem with the Copa. It's meaningless before the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and the two-legged thing, man. It's just brutal.
See, England does this the right way. I mean, England does the replays, which are obnoxious, but they do this right. It's one leg. One leg is fine. You don't need to subject a third-tier team to a second leg. You just don't.
Yeah, that's right, and it also allows for there to be more upsets as well, because, even if a little team pulls off an upset in the first leg, then the second leg, Barcelona or Atletico or Real Madrid can just show up and pump them in the second leg. Yeah, doesn't matter.
Celta, it played really well in the first leg. The only problem is, they only got a goal, and Barcelona got an away goal in their home for the second leg, and Barca are going to win. It's just not as fun.
And if that had gone to extra time, then who knows what could happen.
Yeah, then it could be really magic of the cup.
Right. One game with extra time and penalties. Just do that and it'd be a lot more interesting.
Agreed.
Yeah.
What do you got in the way of a prediction for this game, which means literally nothing?
God, it really could be anything. 2-1.
Oh, you got yay to scoring. Okay.
Yeah, I'll say yay to get a goal. Why not? We'll give them one in like the 88th minute.
All right. A little respect to them.
It'll be meaningless.
I'm going to try to start a new scoreline streak. I got this result against Getafe, right? Right on the money?
You did.
2-0. I'm going to go with 3-0 at Letty.
Oh, wow.
This time. So a nice 7-0 pumping on aggregate.
Whoa, that would be nice.
All right. What else you got, man, before we do the bonus pod?
I think that is all.
All right, well, patrons, we want you to stick around for the bonus pod, but in the meantime, for all you other awesome non-patron listeners, that was Rob Walker. You can catch him on Twitter at rwalk03, R-W-A-L-K-03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron, that's J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Cult Scenario Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Please leave a rating and review on iTunes. Helps get more eyes and ears on the program when people search Spanish football podcasts, when people search La Liga in the podcasts app. Ours will appear. Cult Scenario Chat will be in the queue, so make sure to leave a rating and a review. Also, if you're interested in becoming a patron, if you already are a patron, this doesn't apply to you, but if you want to become one, patreon.com/cultgeneralchat is the place to be. patreon.com/cultgeneralchat. Adios.